You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public.
Good Tuesday morning to you. The 10th day of October. Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good day. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to Tim Lynch here. Maybe a little bit earlier than I told him to, because I want to get his thoughts on... Good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Interesting conversation I've begun to have. Wait a minute. How about my Yankees? Huh? Yeah. I don't know if you guys are baseball fans, but if you are and you watched, nice. Nice work in the Bronx last night, boys. Now I got to go to Cleveland, and Cleveland 4-16 in elimination games, 4-17 after last night. Yeah, not so good. But they're going to go home and play Game 5 on Wednesday night. Dodgers won again last night, so they advance. The Cubs and the Cardinals play again today, so that'll be good. And who's left? Diamondbacks, Cubs, Red Sox got eliminated. That it? Yeah, that's it. That's it. So we've only got two series left. The Cubs and the Nationals. Yeah, Nationals. Dusty Baker pulls a guy. He pulls a guy throwing a no-hitter. Man. Everything gets bigger in the playoffs, but anyway. You know what? And yeah, sports is entertainment. Go figure. So I want to talk today about entertainers who become political activists who happen to be athletes, the concept of being replaced, and then my right not to watch. Because, you know, I have to tell you, it feels good when I see the NFL hurt. Because I don't like it. And I don't like, and what to me it's emblematic of is one of the things that's killing the country. And I'll pick on athletes, and I'll pick on a broadcaster to kind of illustrate my point. And then I want to talk about this with Tim Lynch. So, anyway. I don't know if I want to do it yet. Maybe I'll wait till I get Lynch on. Okay, so I want to talk about this world we live in and how upside down it is. And there's an important lesson out there for people. Everybody can be replaced. Everybody. Well, maybe not Tom Brady, and maybe not Aaron Rodgers. Okay. But just about everybody can be replaced. So I want to talk about that today. And that's a humbling lesson. That's a humbling lesson. You know, and that broadcaster, what's her name, Jemele Hill, I think, at ESPN, she can learn it. ESPN doesn't need her to be functional, to make money. In fact, one would argue that they'll make more money without her. Yeah, so go ahead. Get after your Twitter account all you want. Go ahead. Go be a social activist. Ask Colin Kaepernick how that's working. You like it? Sitting at home? Banging out on his Twitter, trying to get a job in a business that doesn't want him anymore? And not because of his political stance. Okay? Because at heart, he's an entertainer. So we're going to talk to Lynch about that. Get his thoughts about that. And when all of a sudden, this upside-down world we live in, all of a sudden it gets right side up. And you have somebody like Jerry Jones say, hey, if you do that, you're not going to play for me. Yeah, now we're talking about systematic oppression, according to the San Francisco 49ers. You're an entertainer, dude. When I want political shit coming through my TV, I'll turn to Fox or CNN or some other political news channel. When I want to be entertained and I want to escape my daily life, that's why I turn on the sports. That's the whole paradigm that builds ESPN. I like sports. I don't get enough of it. Oh, now I can watch highlights all the time? This is awesome. We have a show now that's just dedicated to sports. Remember when ESPN came on? It's like you could turn it on. It's like all sports all the time. ESPN going to learn the limits of its own power. And I know it already has, but nonetheless. All right. And then at 8 o'clock, Chris Woodbridge from the Marine Corps Gazette is going to join us, and then the Gunner is going to join us, and we'll do Gunner Talk on this Tuesday. So there you have it. Chock full of stuff. I also want to go over with Tim Lynch. I think there's lessons in what the Navy's going through for all the services, and I think to varying degrees the other services are plagued by it. I think that the United States has a crisis at the general officer, flag officer level. And I think it's been that way for a long time, honestly. And the more I read, the more I believe that. It's astounding. In one of the things in the Vietnam, was it the Vietnam series that I heard it? Where did I hear it? No, I heard it in the interview. I read it in the interview that you were going to talk about on Thursday. This guy, Captain F, is interviewed. He said, you know, the Navy went from a high of 900 ships during Vietnam. I said, 900 ships? In Vietnam? Holy smokes. And where are we now? We're less than 300? Holy shit. So I said, is that right? So I went to the Navy History and Heritage Command, and there's a thing that says U.S. ship force levels, and it goes all the way back to 1886 to 1891. That's where it starts. So, got some data. We'll talk about that. But we shouldn't kid ourselves in the Marine Corps. Our general officers are no different than any other branch of the service. So, institutionally, how does that impact us? The Heritage Foundation said the Marine Corps ability in their executive summary, they judge the Marine Corps' ability to accomplish its mission as part of the Department of Defense as weak. How the fuck do we get to be weak without somebody throwing a fit? I got to finish opening the program. But anyway, and so this is why this is an important issue. Our analysis concludes with these assessments. Army, weak. The Army score remained weak. This is the Heritage Foundation as of last week in their executive summary. The Army score remained weak for reasons similar to those cited in previous editions of the index. The Army has continued to trade end strength and modernization for improved readiness in some units for current operations. Why? Sequestration. And a federal government that isn't investing in its own military. Accepting risks in these areas has enabled the Army to keep only one-third of its force at acceptable readiness levels. And even for units deployed abroad, the Army has had to increase its reliance on contracted support to meet maintenance requirements. Budget cuts have affected combat units disproportionately. Okay, that's the Army. The Marine Corps as weak. The Corps continues to deal with readiness challenges driven by the combined effects of high operational tempo and low levels of funding. Aviation remained this largest challenge for the Corps in 2017 as maintenance and flight hour shortfalls combined with old platforms to cause the service to self-assess a dire state of readiness. The Corps' modernization programs are on track, but it will take several years for new equipment to be produced and fielded. Ground combat systems in particular are long overdue for replacement. Unlike past years, the Corps did not publicly provide detailed information about the status of its active duty force with respect to its state of readiness for combat. The Corps has said the deploy-to-dwell ratio for its active force has dipped below 1 to 2, revealing increased stress on the force, which is what the Navy experienced. This, combined with a clear assessment of poor aviation readiness, drove the Marine Corps' overall strength score from marginal to weak in 2017, making it the only service to drop to a lower category in the last 12 months. Congratulations. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah, you can find it's the Heritage Report on national security. It was published last week. So if you just search Heritage Report, I'll put the link in this hour's audio if you're looking for it. So pretty interesting little assessment that they do on an annual basis. Good morning to you. This makes it official.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We'll check the weather real quick around the world. Mostly cloudy and 76 in Quantico. Cloudy and 80 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy and 55 cooled off in Texas. Sunny and 36 in Montana. Although Montana, man, he's in Ohio now. I had to yoke his ass up. He just, like, clicks off the net for, like, about 7 days. Not even a radio check. And it's like, yesterday he gives me, like, why are you calling me? I'm like, why are you in River City? I'm not. I'm working. Okay, then just say something. He said, thanks, Mom. I said, hey, look, somebody's got to supervise you boot-ass punks. Currently, sunny in 51 in 29 Palms. Sunny in 46 at Camp Pendleton. Yeah, how about that? In the 40s on the, near the coast. Cloudy dark 83 in Okinawa. Sunny in 79 in Raqqa in Syria. Yeah, I will tell you, Iraq very much like 29 Palms in terms of the weather. Same kind of weather in the winter, drizzly, cold. Afghanistan, where we were in southern Afghanistan, not too dissimilar either. Thank God, no humidity, man, just heat. Marja, clear, dark, 84. And at the home of All Marine Radio, foggy in 59. Looking for a high of 80 today as it cools off here on the coast. You know what? I don't understand how 10 people are dead in the fires in Napa, honestly. You know, I'll be curious to watch the post-mortem on all that. Those fires came out of nowhere. And, you know, normally when they start, you know, you start seeing them on television and whatnot. And the one in Napa just kind of exploded. So I'm curious, what was the cause of all that? You know, the temperature went up here in California, but, to see 10 people dead in fires, you know, why? So we'll check all that out. Tim Lynch going to join me next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it. That's right. That is the All Warrior Radio Network. Back in a moment. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Tuesday. So I wanted to have Tim Lynch on, just to, because he's a smart guy, and he's not afraid to have an opinion. So I just wanted to talk about the news, our culture. Joining me, former United States Marine Corps Major, former United States Navy Corpsman, Tim Lynch, son of Jarvis. And what do you call your uncle? You don't call him
Uncle Chad.
You don't call
him. We call him Uncle Chad.
I call him Chuck. You call him Chad.
Right.
He didn't tell me to call him Chad though.
No, but that's what I've been. You didn't mess with Uncle Chad. If the name is Uncle Chad, that's what you called him, brother. That's how it goes. His friends call him Chuck, and I'm sure I could now too.
Oh really? Okay. I didn't know if I was screwing it up. That's why I said that.
No. The first name's Charles, and always Uncle Chad as we were growing up. He's mellowed with age. He's a cool cat, no doubt about it.
Well, hey, all right. First question is one we haven't spoke since the PBS series The Vietnam War ended. I take it you watched all of it, yes?
Oh yeah, I watched every bit.
Okay, final thoughts, but your thoughts after watching the entire body of work.
Well, again, I thought he had a narrative that he was driving towards.
What was that?
Well, it sort of reinforces a lot of the guys he had on, not all, but a lot of the veterans he had on, ultimately expressed regrets, and I don't think there was anybody who didn't, with the exception of General McPeak. But you know, he's a fighter pilot. They always get a bye in the Hollywood progressive thing.
You know, he followed me on Twitter the other day.
Oh, lucky you, man! He seems to be a cool cat too, man. Old, yeah. I enjoyed listening to it.
I went, what? Is this legit? What is that about? So yeah, hey, if you're out there, General, what's up? The yeah, had Sunday morning. I looked. I was like, what the shit? Okay, so with the exception of him, everybody, Marlanis doesn't express regret, though, does he?
No, no, he didn't. No, he was all about when he got joined that Misty Squadron. They were able to hammer the hell out of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. He said that was the best time he had.
Right. Okay. So what was Burns' narrative?
Well, the narrative seemed to focus exclusively on South Vietnamese corruption and North Vietnamese nationalist impulses, and they weren't. They were communists. You know, it didn't talk about any of the good things that happened in South Vietnam, and which weren't a lot, but they were there, and it never talked about the negative aggression coming out of the North, so I'm talking nuances here. I think overall, particularly after listening to a lot of the guys that you had on the Vietnam vets who were happy with it, I could see that, but. You know, guys like Uncle Chad or my dad or a number. I think you had a couple on who didn't watch it. They weren't having anything of it because not one of them regrets their time over there. They thought they were doing good, and they fought honorably and fought well.
Here's one of the things that I found interesting is the amount of anxiety that series generated in Afghan and Iraq veterans.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, and, you know, to quote Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again. Like,
yeah.
Ruh-roh. And again, and so we have a mutual friend that was having problems sleeping. And he said, wait a minute, what did we just do? Did we just do the same thing? And so, ultimately he talked to, one of the cool things about my friends is a lot of us have continued to stay connected. So we have a dialogue about the things we think and whatnot. And this program's been a part of it, honestly.
Sure.
And so he just reached out to other buddies and talked to them and said, like, what did we do, man? I'm watching Rumsfeld and he's impersonating McNamara. Right. And we have people that don't tell the truth. We have people that won't stand up and tell the truth. And we continue to do stupid things and destabilize the world and get young Americans killed. And we should have learned these lessons. So I thought that was an interesting part of it, is looking at history. I respect that people differ on the margin relative to Burns' work and what's her name, Novick, her work as well. But I think overall, I thought it was a fair representation of just the broad spectrum of Vietnam. And how do you produce something like that? Even, I want to say they probably had about 17 and a half hours in 10 episodes. Some of them were 90 minutes, some of them were 2 hours. To go ahead and present this thing called Vietnam, and I thought they did a fair job. I'm curious. How do you limit it? Because it's such a diverse subject, you know. So.
Yeah. No. I had to agree with you. My stance softened as I listened to more and more of the guys in Vietnam vets you were interviewing.
Pussy.
And I can see, no, it's not like that. I could see it both ways. But,
right.
You know, like I told you before, I was spring loaded looking for stuff.
No.
And when you go back and compare it to what we did, the one thing I wrote, my final post on the thing was that it introduced our generation to a generation of heroes. Because I was referencing our last talk where, you know, I'll tell you right now, mortars scared the hell out of me. You know, all four rounds that landed near me over 7 years scared me to death. And you got guys in Continental that are sucking up 1,900 a day. A day. I mean, oh, my God. I can't, and still servicing their guns. They're still fighting. I it's just amazing to me when you understand that they didn't even know each other. They didn't have any trust in their chain of command because that changed every 6 months.
If you were lucky, that was probably, if it changed every 6 months, you were lucky. right?
Yeah. If things went according to plan, that's
between casualties and rotations, if it changed every six months, like we're tight. And I'll tell you, the other thing that I don't see a lot of corporals there. You know, I see a lot of 19-year-old Lance Corporals, squad 19, 20-year-old Lance Corporals as squad leaders. I don't see it's even in the interviews they did in Vietnam. I mean, not with people, you know, reflecting, but the actual interviews, it's like who's in charge? And it always seems to be a really young Marine, and that's rough. That's rough.
Oh yeah.
So no, I'm with you. It's, I mean, you and I talked about Comp Tien, and I think Burns did was he reopened the dialogue about Vietnam in a lot of different ways. In a lot of different ways. The I want to change gears though. I want to talk to you about doing intelligence preparation of the battlefield for the world that we live in today. Okay. And the world that we live in today is a really different world. And what I'm finding is more and more people, you know, will email me and say, hey, I've stopped paying attention. First of all, I'm distressed by the direction of the nation. I'm extremely distressed by the leadership of the nation. I never thought the United States of America that I grew up in would be where it is today. A dysfunctional Congress. That doesn't do the work of the people, that seeks to pass major legislation through a budget reconciliation caveat carved out in 1974, you know, and not go through regular order, not deal with the people's issues, not pass budgets, which incredibly impacts the Department of Defense, blah, 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 blah. So we live in this, so I find that interesting, okay? And so, what is the world we live in? Is it a world where truth matters? Answer, no. What matters is you see something or something occurs. It either gets on national TV or it gets into social media and then it explodes and the truth lags. And the truth, I'm not sure, is ultimately relevant to the impact it has on the larger culture. And that's what we chase. It seems like that's what gets in front of us every day. I want to talk to you about this concept of entertainers, right? Becoming political activists. And then all of a sudden the NFL is butting up against the president and the American people who are turning it off at an increasingly alarming rate. Another piece of that is you have anchors at ESPN who are being suspended and fired for taking political stances because it's their right. Okay. And then finding out that, oh, you don't need me? What do you mean I can be replaced? Well, you want me to go home and tweet for free? Well, wait a minute. I got a right to say what I want to. You're not disagreeing with that? I could just say it for free from home and not be employed? Whoa, time out. Consequences? What is that? And then my right ultimately to click that shit off. So it's social media, it's news, the reality doesn't matter, the truth doesn't matter, it's not what we're about. And we live in this jumbled world where we're aching for Walter Cronkite to come out and say, that's the way it really is. I'm not bullshitting you. Have a good evening. And we can all go, all right, I think I have a clue about what's going on in the world. And we don't get any of that. So I'm curious about your thoughts on that big bowl of goo that we all live in on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the fact of the matter is if you're employed by the NFL or ESPN, you don't have the right to start conducting yourself in a manner that's going to tarnish this institution, no more than you do when you're in the military. You're an employee, and you've got some obligations to your employer not to hurt the business. And so I see this kind of backlash against these folks as a positive thing because it's reality intruding on the narrative, and the reality right now seems to be winning. But at the same time, most of us have these gigantic social networks. I mean, I've got people I talk to on at least once a week that I've never met. And that's kind of weird when you think about it, you know. Instead of having a nice tight social network that I can sit and talk to about things face to face, I'm on my computer communicating with guys who have followed my blog for years and who I feel a certain amount of kinship to. I don't even know, I wouldn't know them if they bumped next to me in a shopping center.
Right.
And that's kind of strange to me. So I think personally that one of the ways of an antidote to this current discomfort is to unplug as much as you can from social media and just start reading books and thinking for yourself instead of trying to get what it is you want to say off of a Twitter feed or a screen or whatnot. Because if I'm going to watch football, I want to be entertained. I don't want to hear a bunch of nonsense about I just don't want to hear it, which is why I don't watch professional sports anymore. I don't care. I watch college ball, but that's about it. And I think that's the answer, but I don't know how we're going to get there because it seems like this unbridled information, you know, information that comes to you from outside the media sources, people that just go on YouTube and start talking like Scott Adams, the Dilbert creator. I listen to him a lot because I think he's a smart guy, but to me, we're making a quantum leap forward and we have not as a species caught up with the capabilities that we now have with our information technology, and it's going to be disruptive. And what happens at the end of this disruption, which I think is a lot bigger than we suspect it is, how this ends up, I can't foresee, but it's going to be dramatic because the old ways of listening to Walter Cronkite, those are gone, man. I don't think they'll ever come back.
Well, they can. My point is, they can. You got to find Walter Cronkite, and you then have to, and then you tune out other things, which you can do,
which you can do.
And so, to me, I mean, somebody asked me, "Well, Mac, how do you get your news?" I said, "Well, I tend to read a lot of it, but what do I have access to on my phone?" The Associated Press has a mobile app, and the Associated Press does news. And so when major news happens, you get these things. The extraneous nonsense that other news outlets report to include what their columnists say doesn't include that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can be informed about breaking news stories if you so choose. And then, if you turn on the news is driven by clicks, by viewers.
Yep.
And so what gets you that? You know, interesting stuff. Because I have an affinity for the truth. Okay, it's one of my flaws as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so I like numbers. I like empirical discussions, and then looking at that as a problem, how do we fix that? And so ish articles that appeal to me. The website 538 recently did an article about gun deaths in America. And it's jaw-dropping. This is the reality. But if I listen to television, or social media, that's not even the discussion that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three major causes of gun deaths in the United States are two-thirds of the 33,000 are suicide, and the other third is just about another third is homicide, and that homicide, those homicides break down. 50% of those are men between the ages of 15 and 34, and I believe 80% of those are black. Involved in either the drug trade or gang violence. So that gets you about 4,000 black lives. And then 1,700 are domestic violence victims. And so you begin to break those numbers down and you say, okay, well, where does the solution to gun violence lie in? If two-thirds of them are suicide. Well, there's, I guess, mental health, right?
Right.
And so the solutions are, so inner city gun violence, where's the solution to that? All right, well, that's, I guess, mentorship programs and education for inner city, you know, people to open doors so they don't go to the gang life, or they go to it in decreasing numbers, and slowly over time we and what about domestic violence? Okay, well, there has to be programs, you know. So it's like, it's a completely different narrative than what I see on TV. The other thing I got curious about, and this is yesterday, was empirically, Black Lives Matter is about inner city shootings by police officers on black men. So I went to the, and you're going to hate me for doing this, but I went to the Washington Post, and I, because they had this narrative of gun deaths with police officers, and they broke them down, and it was, honestly, it was amazing. It was amazing to look at the statistics. There were, I want to say, 700 and some odd as of yesterday. The percentage of white was 48%. Mental health cases, 25%. These are shootings. Black, 20%. Okay, so 20%, let's just say the number ultimately ends up at 1,000, okay? 20% of 1,000 is 200. So you have 400 black men between the ages of 15 and 34 getting killed in gun violence that's related to drugs and the drug trade and gangs, and you have approximately 200 black men killed by police officers all over the country, okay? And Black Lives Matter is most focused. If I asked you, they're most focused on what issue, what would you tell me?
Yeah, you would think it would be the inner city gang violence.
How does that make sense?
No.
How does that make sense? And so,
because it's political. They're not looking for solutions. They're looking for attention. They're looking for money. They're looking for turbulence within the system that they feel somehow is against them, and this is like talking about Afghanistan corruption. We can't fix that, and you and I can't fix what's going on inside the inner city. That's got to be something that comes from within the American black population, who by the way are bitching about affirmative action being applied to Caribbean and West African blacks because they're outperforming them in the elite schools. Now that's the newest mantra from that particular crowd. And none of it is going to work, that's why it's so annoying to see the NFL players making a spectacle out of themselves over an issue, which is a nonsense issue. I mean, all you have to do is look at the facts, as you so eloquently just explained.
Well, and that's the thing. When here's the first thing. You're an entertainer. Okay, don't forget that. I know that you've had your ass kissed probably since the first time you walked onto an athletic field. And that's no joke. So when in first grade or second grade, when you were a better athlete than most everybody else, you got praised for that every day at recess. Oh, who's going to be first pick? Lynch is. Lynch, who are you picking? I'm picking Montana. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Joe Montana, from the time we're in first grade, he's one of the better athletes. As he gets into Little League and other leagues, he does nothing but get his ass kissed. All right. The thing that blows me away is, it doesn't blow me away, but the realization to them that I can be replaced, that somebody else is my boss, and that even though it's my right, yeah, I can do that, but you know what? Other people have rights too. And I'm not the top, you know, I'm not the top dog anymore. And I may do so, and there might be consequences that I might not like. Whoa, where did all this come from? Well, it's called reality, right? It's like,
right.
You've got to, but that flag, and I need to put these pictures up, and I'm going to do it right now. That flag that you don't feel, and that song that you don't feel it's appropriate to stand for, that's a flag that when a body bag comes in, we put a flag over it. That body bag never gets left alone. That's our guy. That's our girl. That's our angel in there, right? With very, very solemnness, we put it in a casket. The flag now adorns the casket. They move that within, and a C-130 in theater has to be available within 4 hours of the time that Marine, soldier, sailor, Air Force, airman gets killed. C-130 shows up to an airstrip. Everybody that can goes down to the ramp, to a ramp ceremony. The casket is inside the C-130 on some kind of pedestal. There's two Marines standing at the head of the casket at the position of attention. And people line up outside the aircraft. They file in two by two, and then they pay their respects. Some people kneel and pray. Other people, you know, walk up and touch the casket, right, and say, "Fair winds and following seas, devil dog." And it's a very solemn thing. That casket then makes its way to Dover and then gets prepared to be turned over to a casualty assistance officer like Tim's, you know, Tim's uncle, Chad, did 100 of these things. It still amazes me. And then, but that's how the flags, that's our experience with it. So, if you have your right to express yourself, I hope you respect, and look, none of us quarrel with that because we fought for that right. None of us quarrel with it, but I hope you respect our right to turn your shit off because it does insult us. You're a millionaire. You've never served a day in your goddamn life, right? And trust me, we know what service is. We know what it is. We've seen it, all right? And so for you to insult us and then say, well, we're not insulting you. Yeah, right. No, and we got it. It's your right. So don't anybody say, well, it's their right to me. We got that. But it's my right to turn it off. It's my right to encourage everybody else I know to turn that shit off and let them know that when you're an entertainer, be an entertainer. When I want to come hear you speak on social issues, fine. Come speak in Orange County, and if I care to, I'll come avail myself of your thoughts. Other than that, know your role and shut up, okay? You want to be a social activist? I got it, but it comes with a price. And when I want to escape and watch sports, I don't want that shit shoved in my face. And the idea that life has consequences is, and when you see that, blows me away. Blows me away. And I'm going to give you, you know, I don't know if you followed the press conference that the sheriff who's doing in Las Vegas, he's dealing with, you know, everything that happened there. He did on the Friday before that Sunday. But he, very over the course of 20-something minutes, laid out what happened to a guy who plays in the NFL who said he was singled out because he was black. That was complete bullshit. Now, have you heard anything from that guy? No. His coach, who put out a very emotional letter, Pete Carroll, talking about we have to get after this injustice and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, has he said anything? No. Has he apologized to the Las Vegas Police Department? No. And so we live in this fake, phony-ass world where the truth doesn't matter, where lies get taken and spun right through the roof on social media and 24-hour news organizations, and the only thing they want is your click. The only thing they want is for you to turn them on, which they can then take to their advertisers and say, okay, the rate's gone from, you know, $50,000 an hour to $70,000 an hour based on the number of clicks. And so it's just, it's not a good world to live in. Where the truth doesn't matter, where consequences for behavior is a shock. And I never thought that I would be this disillusioned with my country, but I'm getting there, man. Can you hear it?
No, I'm with you. And what's the purpose of that ramp ceremony? Because it seems to me that we're reinforcing something about the nature of our business and the nature of our organizations. And one of the things we're reinforcing is that not only you're not special, but the flying metal doesn't discriminate for one thing. I mean, look at Larry Nicholson, for Christ's sakes, as a perfect example of that. Thank God he was able to recover. And it also kind of forces a little bit of humility and reinforces your faith and commitment to the organization, not to you. Not to you, right? Because we know some guys that are going to pretty high ranks. And it's not a big mystery as we look back and our time with Lou as lieutenants and captains with these same guys. We kind of knew that they were destined to go all the way, at least a few of them. That wasn't a big mystery to us. But they had to have an ingrained sense of humility because they couldn't let everybody else know that they knew that they were on the way up to the top, that they were better than everybody else. The system enforced mandatory that you had to have some humility, some commitment to the team and to the organization and developing subordinates, because that's the only way you're going to go up, no matter how talented and smart you were. And all those guys that have made it up there are guys that did that, that were able to bury their ego at times because I always knew Paul Kennedy was better at this shit than I was, and I'm not somebody to admit I was I thought I was pretty good at it, you know, but I always knew. But I never, it's not something he ever lorded over everybody or anybody that as far as I'm aware. And the modern political scene, maybe to an extent, but certainly in sports, it's an artificial world. Those guys are treated like kings from day one. And how can you develop a sense of character if everything that is just handed to you? If you won the genetic lottery, you've worked hard to improve that genetic gift. But that's it. I mean, that's all they developed, and it's appalling to see how some of those guys conduct themselves with a sense of entitlement. And that's a sense of entitlement is not the American way. We've never been down with that kind of crap. You know, this isn't that's why we're Americans. You know, that's why everybody else in Europe thinks that we're frigging cowboys and stuff. But hey, a sense of entitlement, infringing on our personal rights and liberties. We don't play that game, and we're the only game in town as far as the rest of the world goes with that kind of attitude. Something that I am proud of myself.
So I think what I find is I find myself two things, increasingly disillusioned and increasingly shutting different media things off.
Right.
Because I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. Do you find that's the norm for a lot of our friends, or am I an anomaly?
No, I don't think so. I think the guys on active duty, and to a lesser extent us that are retired, pay an inordinate amount of attention to the Daily Bird, you know, the early bird, which is nothing but a news aggregator. So you tend to focus more on those kind of stories. I tend to go through that one pretty much every day. But no, I don't think you're the norm at all. But at the same time, you know, it's not all doom and gloom right now because it's slow and you can't see it. But we're kicking ISIS's ass. Those guys are on the last leg. Now that we have a commitment that we've stated to Afghanistan that we're not going anywhere, Taliban's on the defense. They're not going to win. They're not going to win. I don't know how that's going to turn out. It's going to be a long haul. And if we can keep that commitment, it's ultimately going to end in some kind of a situation that's as favorable as it's going to be able to be. But I mean, there's good news out there. I think that confronting North Korea right now is good news. I think decertifying Iran is good news. All it does is give a 60-day clock for Congress to come up with some idea how to deal with it. That's all it does. But they're not allowing people into their military bases to inspect their missile technology, so they're not compliant. That's as plain as the nose on your face, although you wouldn't know that from listening to the questions that were being asked of Secretary Mattis and General Dunford. You wouldn't know that at all, but it's true. And you can find that out by reading just straight up news. So yeah, it's a difficult time, but it doesn't, I sure don't feel the cohesion that I once felt as a younger man. And I don't know if that's a function of age. Or that things have generally turned because the younger generation, they don't know much about anything, you know? I mean, as far as history and how things got to be the way they are, which is why you want to know your history so you understand why we're here. Yeah, because they just don't, education seems to have, not be concentrating on those types of issues, and instead are developing things like social awareness and what the proper gender pronoun you should be addressing transsexuals is, which, by the way, is now a proposed law in your state. They're welcome to the age of compelled speech, my friend, at least in California. But yeah, it's a weird time. But I sense a backlash. My sense is, as you watch the NFL numbers plummet, that reasonable folks that aren't necessarily as up on current events, worldwide as you and I and our crowd necessarily are, that those reasonable folks have reached their point of tolerance, and they're not taking it anymore. And I guess that's a good thing.
I'll give you another example. And I just watch it, and I mean, this shit offends me, but it consumes the country. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you know that there was another protest in Charlottesville the other night, on Saturday night?
Yeah, no, I heard about that. I think, what, three people showed up or something? Wait, I didn't pay too much attention to it.
40 to 50 people showed up for 10 minutes.
I'm amazed there was that many. To tell you the truth, I'm amazed there was even that many.
There probably wasn't, but, So now that thing's going to get covered nationally? Are you kidding me? It's nothing. But what have we seen? What do we see in Houston? We saw, Texans pulling together and people from all over the country, giving money and trying to help. What do we see in Florida? We saw the same thing. What have we seen in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands? You see people helping. That's the country that I know. But
right.
It's like, where is that voice? I mean, I've gone down this road of examining and investigating more and more into the dysfunction of Congress, specifically the U.S. Senate, and stupid rules that allow individual senators to clog up nominations, to not allow legislation to be brought to the floor. And it's more influenced by obstruction than influenced by program and what you stand for. It's what you'll stop, mm-hmm. because senators, because of the way the rules of the Senate are the most obstructionist things in the American government. There isn't a more obstructionist organization than the Senate, and so I don't know. I don't know if I'm certainly becoming more disillusioned, to all of this. And then I look at, I'll do an interview on Thursday with a guy who interviewed a captain in the United States Navy. And when I read the interview, it made me go do some research. He said something. Vietnam, we had we were at a high water mark of how many surface ships, total active, do you think the United States Navy had in 1960, on June 30th, 1967, and June 30th, 1968? Give me a number. What do you think?
I'm not counting riverine boats. I'd say 600 combatants.
932.
Holy shit. Really?
Holy shit is right.
Holy shit. Wow. I would not have guessed. I would have thought 600 was high.
Hello. VO.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, all right, how about 2016? Where do you think the number is?
214 maybe?
275.
Yeah, I know it was left. I know it was under 300. I knew that.
That's astounding.
It is, and they can't even drive them.
Oh, well, and so I'm going to ask you one final question. I'll let you go. The Navy is not alone. One of the comments in the interview that the guy makes is, look, our flag officers have failed the United States Navy. I'll simplify his comments. They're bobbleheads. They have acquiesced to cutting and finding efficiency to the point where we can't do our job. We can't even drive our ships. Mm-hmm. And that is not only there's the broader environment that people live in, which is the number of ships and the number of commitments that those ships are applied to, which means the rubber band gets stretched tight, and then when you turn the wheel on, the wheel's not going slow. Because slow and tight would be okay. The wheel's going fast. Rubber band, it can't stand it. And so what you have is you have a failure at the flag level to preserve the institution. Nobody stands up and says, this is bullshit, we can't do this. Nobody. And it's, I mean, to me, look, we saw the same thing in when we were in Al Anbar. Nobody came home and told Donald Rumsfeld. And the more I think about this, the more it pisses me off, and I bring it up on the show all the time. Somebody said, Mac, you need to take a breath about that shit. No. Look, when you, I didn't know shit about the war plan, okay? I was trying to understand what a staff sec was. I didn't even, that's how stupid I was. Okay, but, yeah, that's no shit
either. Major Dad, there was a TV show about it. Major Dad, dude. Come on. It was a program.
And so I was trying to figure that shit out. And so, how do I say this? As a general officer, you were familiar with the war plan. You knew that Donald Trump sent us there with a little bit more than a third of what the war plan called for. And the troop levels in the war plan were required because you were taking the clamps off of this coalition of peoples held together by a dictator. And when you did that, those people were going to do what they've done throughout history, which is get after each other. And so unless you wanted to preside over that, so the Secretary of Defense, right, he overrules the war plan and gives you what you get, right? Your job is to salute and execute. I got that. However, comma, once you go there and see that it ain't right, don't you have a moral obligation to come home and tell the truth?
You would hope. You would hope.
You would fucking hope? Yeah. Are you kidding me? How often did you get lectured about your moral obligation to your Marines and that you needed to live up to?
Huh? Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. Then and being responsible with the money. And,
right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you always get hammered on that.
But what about, does it apply to them or not?
No. That's the old different spanks for different ranks mantra, which I hate, but it appears to be evident in not just a few things, but. But, you know, going back to the Navy, we received a lot of attention at IOC from the other services because we were putting out a superior product at the entry level, right? Whereas the Army used Ranger School to kind of sort the chaff from the wheat. The Navy had the SWAS program up in Newport. And in the early 80s, when I was a corpsman at the Newport Naval Hospital, you know, I was familiar with the Surface Warfare Officer School, and that was a ball buster. I mean, nobody got cut slack. It was the first experience for a young naval officer to be held to a standard that was not flexible, and it's gone. They did away with the whole goddamn thing, thinking that they're going to be able to do online learning or whatever that program was that they came up with to save themselves in T2 and T2 dollars. And it's ridiculous. I mean, to me, there's got to be a retrenchment. And you wait and see how fast the old Surface Warfare Officer School comes back up, because they were. That was a school that was taught by commanders and senior chief petty officers, and there was no goofing around at that school. They would drop your ass in a heartbeat from that program, and they need to come back to that. I just don't understand how the other services, which were so weak in their entry-level training anyway, as compared to what we put our young officers through, how they could even take the regulator off of that. And it's mind-boggling. But at the same time, they can report back that, hey, we got new ships that don't have any urinals because, you know, they're sexist. Jesus. That's crazy.
So where does one go in all this? I mean, to me, and I've said this before, and then I'll let you go, the crisis that the nation faces is a crisis of leadership. We can't solve our problems. We can't pass budgets. We can't stand up and say, yeah, you know what? The emperor really doesn't have new clothes on. The son of a bitch is naked. We have people that lecture other people about doing that, but they won't do it. And I just don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't either.
I don't know how it works.
But you can look at some of the new senators, and I'll name one of them right off the top of my head, Tom Cotton, who seems to be all about business, who seems to embody the virtues that he was taught as a young officer prior to becoming a senator. He's in his 40s. I mean, he's a young guy.
I agree with
you. Yeah. So you can see some bright lights on the horizon. Whether they can get how soon those other dinosaurs get out of there, guys that have been there forever and doing nothing, I can't tell you. But if you can find more leaders like that, more leaders like Tom Cotton, I think we have a chance to stabilize. But it's a culture war. And the other side, which from my view, you know, the left, to them, it's a war. There it is a zero sum game. They are blue slipping every damn judge that Trump proposes because they definitely want to keep their hold on judiciary activism. And it's not in our best interest. It's in their best interest because it's what their donors want them to do. And that's, you know, it's the money in the politics thing. Hopefully at some point we can eliminate
that. But again, that money coming from, you know, a lot of small donors around the country that represent, you know, the donating base of a party.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, right?
No, hell no. No, it's irrelevant. Yeah, small donors are irrelevant to everybody with the exception of Trump, but who didn't need him anyway. But you're not going to find too many guys like him, and I'm not so sure it's always going to be the answer, although I just love watching him stir up shits with his tweet. I think it's funnier than hell.
Okay. All right. I'm kind of a spectator, and I'll tell you what, I will be honest. I mean, I'm tremendously disturbed by what I see on a daily basis in our country. The truth doesn't matter. A woman on the website 538 wrote an article about gun violence in America. It was a number one story on the Washington Post for like 2.5 days. It was on their most read list for about 2.5 days, which is odd for any story. But hers was. And what she did was the headline was, I thought gun control was a solution. My research told me something different. And that's where I got the data on murder and gun violence in the United States. And you look at it and it's jaw dropping. And you think, well, wait a minute. We can't have an honest conversation about that kind of shit in our country. It takes, you know what I mean? Like, why am I just learning about this now? I mean, what, I don't know. So I don't know. The process is rotten. The leaders are rotten. The people that see it's wrong and don't do anything about it, they're rotten. You know, and again, the Navy is gonna get hammered for it. Okay, but are we so foolish that we don't think that the Marine Corps, you know, is in its own relative way as rotten? I don't know.
No, I'm not that foolish. But the good news about that 538, and by the way, thank you for that. I bookmarked that website. The good news is that article was written by somebody who would not normally be supportive of gun rights, you know, because you can point out facts all you want to. I think the most heavily armed place in America is Plano, Texas, and the murder rate is 0.4 per 100,000. It's the lowest in the world. I mean, and you can make the contention that's because a heavily armed society is a polite society, right?
Well, I said this yesterday, I think, but if you look at those numbers, 33,000 gun deaths in the country, 22,000, so two-thirds of them are suicide, right? Another third is homicide, and then it breaks down that. What you would do is you would conclude the vast majority of gun owners are responsible people that do the right thing.
Right. Well, the concealed carry permit holders are the lowest, most law-abiding citizens in the country. I've read several articles along those lines. The FBI wishes they had the criminal stats of concealed carry permit holders as an aggregate because they don't.
Yeah.
But the fact that a woman who was doing legitimate reporting that was not agenda driven and came out and said that, and that it was the number one story in the Washington Post of all places, and I almost gave up the money to him so I could read the comments. I would have been interested to see those, but I didn't. But that's the good news, you know. And then again, you keep on looking at what's going on overseas, and we're actually slowly but surely, methodically fucking winning. And that's, and you can't deny that. You can't deny that. Although I thought ISIS would be pretty easy to do because, foreigners invading territory. But
no, but Tim, but here's the deal. And then I'm going to boot you off because I got to do my work.
No worries.
We're winning, and then we're winning what we always win. And again, which is the armed conflict. Right, and and if one of the things that you know that you couldn't help but notice in the Vietnam thing was we never got driven from the battlefield.
No,
we always
at
the end
of
the day
won the battles.
Right, we won the battles. So now we're going to put Iraq in a position to do what again? To try to forge a peace, and now the Kurds are getting set up to get crushed. Except the problem is Iraq doesn't have the ass to go in and beat the shit out of the Kurds.
It's a political sub because the end game is a political game, and that's something that we're
horrible at.
True.
All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to express my anxiety for the
Always enjoy talking with you, brother. Always enjoy. You have a great day.
All right. Thanks, man. See ya. I don't have a solution. I do know there's things that I enjoy. I enjoy when up is up and down is down. I enjoy when you're an entertainer and that's how you make your money and you want to stray into a lane of being an activist. I enjoy that you get brought back to the world and say, you can do that. Talk to Jim Brown, but it's going to have a cost. It's going to have a price. Okay. Just so you know. And so this, I like my ass kissed and I'll say anything I want and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not the world that the rest of us live in. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about the Marine Corps Gazette coming up next. I'm disturbed by this crazy fake bullshit world that is given to us every day. I'm dismayed by this crazy fake bullshit Congress that won't deal with the nation's problems. And I don't see the way ahead in terms of how they extract themselves from it, because normally they don't act unless there's some greater force that acts upon them. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe somebody smarter than me can figure it out. But anyway, I wrestle with my problems today live on the radio. We'll take a break. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next. Chris Woodbridge, don't touch that dial. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.